Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Wednesday, November 14th, 2018. We've got about a dozen vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have south winds 20 knots, gusting to 25 knots, easing to 10 to 15 with gusts of 20 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves from the south 2 feet high at about 5 seconds apart. West swells 5 feet at 12 seconds. And a secondary swell is out there from the northwest, 3 feet high at 15 seconds apart. And rain is in the forecast. Well, today I'm just going to do a quick bit on the our ship schedule. We have those dozen vessels, 2 inbounders, 8 in the Astoria Anchorage, 3 outbounders. They're all bulk carriers except for one car carrier, the London Highway, that's going to be heading out from Portland at about 3 p.m. with Toyotas on board, and the rest are a mix of dry mineral cargoes and wheat heading out. But today I want to take the majority of the time on the Ship Report to share something with you that I do every year. This is this story really gets to me. You know, I grew up listening to this song by Gordon Lightfoot, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which happened for real wreck that happened in 1975, 43 years ago on November 10th, which was this past Saturday. And when I heard this song, I always loved him as a performer. I never understood that it was a real story. And so when I started to do the Ship Report and I learned that this was a real occurrence, I went through the song and kind of documented what the song, because the song is really a pretty factual account of what happened. And so I share this every year around the anniversary of this time because it's such a touching story and because it resonates through our maritime community here where we have some of the worst weather in the world already. The Great Lakes are just bitterly cold. The water temperature when this terrible disaster happened was in the mid-30s. That's barely liquid, almost freezing fresh water. So anyway, this is a very touching story, and I just want to play it for you. So here it is. Let's take a look at what happened to that famous ship, the Edmund Fitzgerald. The death of this ship and her crew sent shockwaves through the maritime industry and also many residents of communities on the shores of Lake Superior. Great Lakes dwellers knew this beloved ship well. The story is best told by famous Canadian songwriter Gordon Lightfoot, who wrote the familiar song you'll hear today, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. When this song came out in 1976, about 1 year after the ship was lost, it became a number one hit across the U.S. and Canada. But most listeners outside the Great Lakes region may not have understood that it was a hymn to those lost in one of the worst maritime disasters in U.S. history. The song is a factual account of what happened on board and traces the tragic final journey of a well-loved ship and her crew. So I'll take you through the song and add a little explanation about what you're hearing. Gordon Lightfoot has called this song his best work. You can almost feel the icy wind in the rigging. Superior is the largest lake in the world, containing an eighth of the world's fresh water. At its deepest point, the lake measures 1,333 feet in depth, with an average water temperature of 34 degrees Fahrenheit. Superior is 350 miles long and 160 miles wide at its widest point. The night the Fitzgerald went down, there were hurricane-force winds and 35-foot seas. The song opens with a reference to Gichigumi, the Native American name for Lake Superior.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gichigumi. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned, concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling?
The Edmund Fitzgerald was a familiar ship to many people on Lake Superior. Her nickname was the Mighty Fitz, and she carried ore for 17 years.
The wind
the tattletale sound, and the wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the Witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait, when the gales of November came slashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind.
With Captain Ernest M. McSorley in command and a full cargo of iron ore pellets, the Fitzgerald embarked on her final voyage from Superior, Wisconsin, on the afternoon of November 9, 1975. By the next day, the ship was caught in the midst of a massive winter storm.
When supper time came, the old cook came on deck saying, "Fellas, it's too rough to feed you." At 7 p.m., a main hatchway gave in. He said, "Fellas, it's been good to know you." The captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good ship and crew was in peril. Later that night, when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Shortly after 7:10 p.m., the Fitzgerald suddenly sank in Canadian waters, approximately 17 miles from the entrance to Whitefish Bay, at a depth of 530 feet. Although the Fitzgerald had reported being in difficulty earlier, no distress signals were sent before she sank. Her crew of 29 perished, and no bodies were recovered.
Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they'd put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up, or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water. All that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters.
There are many theories about why the Edmund Fitzgerald sank that night. It could have been high waves in the storm, structural failure on the ship, or a breach of one of her cargo hatches on deck.
Lake Huron rolls, Superior sings in the rooms of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan steams like a young man's dreams. The islands and bays are for sportsmen. And farther below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. The iron boats go, as the mariners all know, with the gales of November remembered.
Every year on November 10th, mourners gather on the shores of Lake Superior and hold ceremonies honoring the lost crewmen of the Edmund Fitzgerald. At the end of each service, family and friends ring a bell when the name of their loved one is called. In a church ceremony on the day after the wreck in 1975, the Reverend prayed for the men's families and rang the church bell 29 times. Present-day services include a 30th ring, tolled for all the sailors lost in the 6,000 shipwrecks that have happened on the Great Lakes.
In a musty old hall in Detroit, they prayed in the Maritime Sailors' Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald. The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. Superior, they said, never gives up her dead when the gales of November come early.
The tragedy led to changes in Great Lakes shipping regulations that included mandatory survival suits, depth finders, positioning systems, increased freeboard, and more frequent inspections of vessels.